Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Forgotten Depression 1921, The Crash That Cured Itself, is a work of economic history and policy argument by James Grant, a financial journalist and historian known for his interest in market behavior and monetary policy. The book examines the severe but brief U.S. Depression of 1920 to 1921 and argues that it recovered quickly without the kind of large-scale federal stimulus associated with later downturns. Grant uses this episode to question the assumption that government intervention is always the best or fastest response to recession. Rather than treating the book as a neutral chronicle, he builds a historical case for market adjustment, fiscal restraint, and limited intervention. The result is both a narrative history of a neglected downturn and a direct contribution to ongoing debates about how economies recover from shocks. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 1920 to 1921 downturn as a test case for non-intervention. Grant centers the book on a major but often overlooked depression that struck the United States after World War I. His key point is not simply that the economy fell sharply, but that it then rebounded rapidly without a modern stimulus program. This makes the episode useful as a historical test case for competing theories of recovery. In Grant's telling, policymakers under Woodrow Wilson and Warren G. Harding did not launch aggressive rescue measures, and that restraint became part of the story rather than a historical accident. The book argues that the downturn was painful but short, and that its resolution challenges the assumption that every recession requires active government management. By focusing on a real recovery rather than a hypothetical model, Grant gives readers a concrete example of how economic adjustment can occur through liquidation, price correction, and renewed private activity. Secondly, a critique of stimulus economics and managed recovery, a central purpose of the book is to push back against the idea that public spending, wage support, and intervention are the normal cure for economic contraction. Grant uses the 1921 episode to argue that such policies can delay adjustment by preserving unsustainable prices, wages, and business structures. He presents the early 1920s as a contrast to the policy responses used in later crises, especially the Great Depression and the 2007 to 2009 recession. The book does not merely oppose intervention in the abstract. It suggests that policy can worsen recessions when it tries to protect every existing pattern of production and employment. This makes the book especially relevant to debates shaped by Keynesian economics. Its argument is historical rather than mathematical. If one recession ended quickly with limited government action, then intervention is not proven to be universally necessary. That is the practical challenge Grant places before readers and policymakers. Thirdly, budget balance, interest rates, and the mechanics of recovery. Grant is interested in the policy mechanics behind recovery, not just in broad ideology. He emphasizes measures such as budget discipline and tighter monetary conditions as part of the environment in which the economy healed. The book suggests that clearing away excesses from the wartime and post-war period allowed prices and employment to reset more quickly, rather than treating falling wages and prices as signs that the system was failing. Grant presents them as part of the adjustment process that restored competitiveness and profitability. This perspective is important because it shifts attention from demand management to structural correction. Readers are encouraged to see recovery as a process involving reallocation of capital, normalization of credit conditions, and the return of confidence in private enterprise. The argument is not that pain disappears, but that a disciplined policy environment may shorten the period of damage by allowing the economy to find a new equilibrium sooner. Fourthly, narrative economic history designed for general readers. Although the book advances a strong policy position, it is also written as accessible history. One of its strengths is the way it presents economic events through clear explanation and selective historical detail rather than technical theory alone. Grant is known for a lively prose style, and this book uses that style to make macroeconomic ideas more understandable to readers who are not economists. The result is a work that mixes institutional history, political context, and market interpretation. This matters because the book is not only trying to convince specialists, it is trying to shape how ordinary readers think about recessions. By grounding abstract arguments in an actual historical episode, Grant makes the policy debate more tangible. The book therefore functions both as a historical narrative and as a primer on how economists and journalists can interpret downturns differently, depending on their assumptions about markets and the state. Lastly, a free market counterweight in modern policy debate. The book stands out because it is not content to describe the past. It is written as an intervention in present-day economic debate. Grant uses the 1921 depression to argue that earlier American leaders sometimes accepted hardship and allowed markets to clear, while later, governments became more inclined to stabilize outcomes through action. This makes the book a pointed counterweight to the habit of treating stimulus as the default response to crisis. Its relevance extends beyond one historical moment because it asks what lessons policymakers should draw from earlier recoveries. Supporters value it as a strong expression of laissez-faire reasoning, while critics may see its conclusions as too confident about market self-correction. Either way, the book is distinctive for linking archival economic history to contemporary policy arguments in a direct and readable form. It offers readers not only a case study, but also a framework for evaluating when restraint may be more effective than intervention. In conclusion, The Forgotten Depression, 1921, The Crash That Cured Itself is best suited for readers interested in economic history, monetary policy, fiscal restraint, and debates over the proper role of government during recessions. Historians will appreciate its focus on a neglected episode, while policymakers, economists, and informed general readers can use it to examine one of the clearest historical arguments against routine stimulus thinking. Its practical value lies in forcing readers to compare short, market-led recoveries with more intervention-heavy responses to later crises. Even readers who disagree with Grant will likely find the book useful, because it frames policy choices as historical questions rather than abstract ideology. What makes it stand out in its category is the combination of strong thesis, compact historical scope, and accessible presentation. Many books on economic downturns either remain highly technical or spread across broad theory. Grant instead concentrates on one episode and uses it to test a larger claim. That focus gives the book clarity, argumentative force, and lasting relevance in discussions about recession management. If you would like to support James Grant, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.